Josh, are you recording?
Yes. I'll quadruple check. You want me to check for the fourth time? Let's check for the fourth time.
Yeah, check, oh, that's check for the fourth time.
See, the fourth time, it'll screw something up.
Nope, it's still good. I see waveforms.
I see waveforms.
This time, check up your button around the corner, will you?
Wow.
Hey, everybody.
All right. It's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, it is.
When the people that you know don't like you and you treasure friendships in. Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Good luck synchronizing that one.
Yeah. Have fun, buddy.
Thanks for that, fellas. Uh-huh. That's just what I needed. Uh-huh. I got my guitar back.
Oh,
finally.
Yeah.
How long was that?
Yeah. It was a couple months.
How does it feel better? Does it feel different?
Oh, God, it feels great, and it's beautifully done. I had them redo the first three frets, and they look museum quality.
Yeah.
And he replaced little bits of the inlays here that were missing and so forth.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And I called him up because I had been the whole time like, dude, it's all right. I got another guitar I can play. You know, I've got, you know. I'm okay. So I'm complicit in it taking as long as it did. But when it was done, he's like, yeah, you can come get it on Friday, whatever. And I walk in there to get it. And he's like, I am so sorry. Something, an emergency came up last night. I'll deliver it to you.
What?
I'm like, wow. All right. Nice. Yeah, cool. So yeah, he actually brought it to my house when he was done. I thought that was cool. Nice. And then called the next day to say, how was everything?
Ooh, wow.
That's service with a smile is what that is.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Josh,
yes.
By the way, hey, can I ask what would be an emergency guitar tuning issue?
I think it was an emergency apart from his luthier
took
work.
A month, the month long emergency.
No, that he wasn't able to do what he promised.
Oh,
the night
I mean
before.
On Friday, the end emergency couldn't get through Friday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I see.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Right. It's just a little mom and pop shop.
Yeah,
gotcha. All right, I just thought maybe he heard like you know. Dave Grohl, you know, has the bat phone like
maybe
I have
so.
To drop everything.
He's like, no, maybe. Sorry, I'm working on it. I'm tuning Andy Chanley's guitar.
Maybe,
sorry, I can't do
yeah.
it. He's got
maybe
a
Bruce Springsteen
tomorrow.
Called up and said, I want a guitar made in matchsticks or something. And he had the set to
he
that.
Said, bite
I don't
it,
know.
Bruce.
I don't know. And I didn't ask. I didn't feel it was my business.
Can you ask next time? So we know.
Can you call him now? Can we call him on the show?
Next time that I ask him, immediately say, what was the emergency? When he says there was an emergency, go, what was it? Because I want you to explain this emergency.
It's been keeping me awake at night.
Wouldn't that cause a lot of people to feel very awkward? Because half the time when you hear that from somebody, when they don't give you detail, that means they're probably bullshitting you.
Exactly.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I had this thing that came up. Really, what was it?
Yeah. You tell me and I'll tell you if it was a real emergency or not. Okay, go ahead.
It was a six-pack of Schlitz malt liquor.
Exactly.
That's what came up. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anywho, we're reunited, and it feels so good.
Indeed. How was your birthday, big man?
Well, it was great. And before I go into details, I trust yours was not lovely?
Had a fantastic time. Had one of the best birthday weeks ever.
Wait,
did the
Giants
win?
You go first. Yeah, did you go to the Giants game?
I did. We did. We went to San Francisco. It was an absolute freaking beautiful night. That park is already so striking, but it was just gorgeous weather. It was not the, you know, home run showcase that I was kind of hoping for. When I go to games like that, I'm one of those obnoxious fans that would prefer that it be a blowout. So I don't sit there in agony the whole time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It turned out it was much more of a pitcher's duel, which was pretty exciting. And the Giants did win on a Dodger throwing error, which was not the best way to win, but still kind of sweet, especially for the a-hole Dodger fans that were really loud the whole time.
Yep.
They were really loud and obnoxious. There was a guy a couple of rows in front of us wearing Dodger blue, and he would turn around every time the Dodgers did something well and was like, yeah, oh, I don't hear you now, Giants. And he was one of those dickheads. So
that's when that guy goes home and his shirt now smells like about a gallon of beer and spit.
Yeah.
You know, you see those guys. I mean, I would never go to Oakland wearing a Steeler jersey and sit there and talk trash. If I had a Steeler jersey on, I'd just sit there. I'm not even sure I'd stand up and cheer when they scored a touchdown. I'd just be like, yeah.
That's the thing. I had two Dodger fans to my right. I mean, Dodgers travel well to San Francisco and vice versa. And there were two very nice gentlemen right next to me who we literally, like, I would ask him, is that relief pitcher any good? Is he going, why are they replacing that guy? We had conversation about the game. And then, you know, occasionally when the Dodgers would, you know, do something stupid, I'd look over and go, oh, well, and, you know, just a little dig. But I wasn't standing up, turning around at the crowd going, what? I don't hear you now, Giants fan. And then that piece of shit left in the seventh inning before the Giants actually put the game away.
There was some guy I worked with who was a big Browns fan, and he would always just, he would, because they couldn't give me shit. They couldn't, he obviously knew I was a Steeler fan. He couldn't give me shit on anything. So it was like any little dig he could get in, he would try to get it in. And I said something like the Steelers were playing in Oakland or something. I said I was thinking about going up one year and I was going to go with a Raiders fan. And I was like, well, I'm not wearing my Steelers jersey. And he was just like, you wouldn't wear your Steelers jersey to go see a Raiders game? And he's like, I'd wear my Browns jersey. I'm like, nobody gives a shit about the Browns. I'm just like, nobody hates you. Like, nobody cares. I'm like,
they're just going to feel sorry for you.
Exactly. I'm so sorry.
They murdered Steelers fans in the parking lot in Oakland. I'm not going to wear this. Like, I don't want to come home just with a Heinz Ward jersey just covered in green loogies on the back. It just doesn't make sense. I'm smarter than that.
But anyway, so the Giants win. It was a beautiful night. It was just gorgeous view. The rest of the time we spent in San Francisco, I just kind of poked around, tried to find some fun food to try. Like, you know, they're always a little on the cutting edge of new cuisines up there. The Burmese food is really getting some traction up there right now. And
what's that like? What's it kind of?
What are the hallmarks of Burmese food?
Myanmar is, if you look at it on a map, you will see that it has India to the west, China to the north, and then Thailand and a couple of other smaller countries to the east. So all those influences. It's one of those places, and it's got its own thing, but it's versions of that. So you'll get some Indian spice, you'll get a little bit of that Chinese influence, and then with Thai, there's, you know, stuff with mint in it or a lot of cilantro. And I'm telling you, man, it was one of the best things. It's hard to find bad food in San Francisco. Unless you just go to the, like, Denny's or
something. McDonald's.
And even their Denny's is pretty good. But
Denny's is just a cut above in San Francisco.
Exactly.
But, man, this was so good. And then you just follow your instincts. It's like, this place looks cool. They serve a little breakfast there, and you have the best breakfast you've ever had. And we reminisced about a lot of places that we remember when we lived in the Bay Area for a relatively short time and poked around. It was great. It was a lovely time. And it was all, just me and Charlotte, no kid, no puppy. It's the first time we've been just like the two of us in a while, actually.
And did you spend a couple of nights there?
We spent two nights there.
The
only negative was that we went to the St. Francis, which is, you know, a venerable old, you know, right there in Union Square. It's been around forever. Uh-huh. It's looking a little shabby. It looks like it's a bit long in the tooth. But the room was spectacular and had a view of the bay. You know, you could see, if you peeked around the corner, you could see bridges on both sides, and you could see the ballpark from there, and gorgeous. It was great. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. It sounds lovely.
Yeah. How about you, Andy?
When did you go? Did you go last weekend for that?
No, we went, actually, I took the week off from work, so I had kind of a birthday relaxation week, even though I was still doing music logs every day. And we went on Tuesday and came back on Thursday. Middle of the week.
Wow.
It's great.
That's nice. Yeah. That sounds nice.
That's the way we
went
to
an art museum. We went to an art museum and looked at paintings of things.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm quite envious. That sounds like a wonderful trip. But you deserve it, Larry.
I know.
You deserve only the best.
I really do.
Yeah.
What did you do, Andy? What did you do on your birthday?
Well, what's funny is,
what did you do to celebrate Andy?
Yeah. Because I know what we did on that day, but you tell us what you did.
If I'm honest, the week was a little bittersweet for me because on Tuesday, I went and this is a long lead in to answer your question, but I'll just get this out of the way. Uh-huh. And had a PET scan to see how I had done through my the rest of my chemotherapy for my lymphoma. And the results that came back were, in the words of my doctor, overwhelmingly good news. It's, you know,
great.
Overall, very good news is to quote her.
I'm so glad that's what you said after me telling you what a delightful time I had on my birthday. And you didn't say, yeah, that's the bad news, guys. And then go in there. So, shoo. Okay. So you didn't have a great.
No. It gets better. I wanted to get this out of the way at the beginning.
Good.
So it was bittersweet. It wasn't the you're cured, you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect that exactly, but I figured to at least, you know, hear, you know, we don't see anything else because it was just a wispy fart of some activity at the halfway point, and you're all clear. What I got back was, gosh, you're so close. And this may be your new baseline. Who knows? But not even sure if there's anything viable left. But it doesn't look, you know, squeaky, spick and span clean. So we're just going to keep an eye on it and so forth. And you know, I meet with her and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'd like to, you know, think about some other possibilities. And I'm going to get other opinions on what we should do from this point forward. But again, very, very excited about my, you know, prospects and awesome. and yeah. Sure that we're going to be successful.
It sounds
successful.
Like everything's heading in the right direction for
you. Yeah, so yeah. I'd be a real asshole if I wasn't, grateful.
Well, I'm not 100% cured, but whatever.
Well, that also sounds like...
Worst doctor ever.
That also sounds like, other than, I don't know, after one period of treatment that a doctor would be that like, well, it's all gone. I mean, that just doesn't happen. Yeah. So I think hearing what you heard, and I think it's important that you do get opinions from Josh and I, because we probably do.
Right.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm sure we have some ideas for you.
Yeah, some salient advice.
But,
sure.
You know, put a pin in that. We'll circle back.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
We'll come back to that. So anyway, that's what I was left with. And just this, you know, kind of feeling of, okay, you know, I guess I've got to force myself to relax a little bit. But it was a little adjustment from what I had gone into the week hoping for coming in, you know, into my birthday.
Sure.
So my birthday comes on Thursday, and it's a day like any other because I got to get up early and get all my work done, do all the stuff I've got to do. Lara has work that, and it's, you know, this time of year, she just can't, you know, get out of it right now. This is kind of the high season for what she does as an enrollment director for a school and so forth. Yeah. So, you know, all of these things, we couldn't just take the week off and, you know, like Larry does. And
that was just, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Andy, are you saying that the world didn't stop for your birthday? Is that what you're saying? I'm so sorry.
No, but something, it was one, they made it wonderful with cards. And homemade cards and bringing in, ordering in my favorite pizza in town, some Baronis. And it was great. And what else did we do there? Some lovely little tokens of affection, some gifts from them. Wonderful outreach from many listeners and all of my friends wishing me a wonderful day. And that buoyed my spirits. And that was quite lovely.
Well, good.
That in itself would have been fine. Just that. And anybody that isn't an absolute prick should be content.
Yeah. But then there's Andy.
But then there's me.
No, I feel like there's a capper coming. There's a topper.
There's a butt. Lara said, look, feel bad that we couldn't, give you the proper, you know, birthday you deserve on Thursday. So what we're going to do is Saturday is going to be birthday observed.
Second birthday.
Birthday observed, yeah. And so birthday observed happened on Saturday, yesterday, as we're talking. And we shot the works. We slept in, number one. Then we got in the car and drove up to towards Ventura. On the way, stopped off at the Camarillo outlets, bought a couple of dad shirts for daddy.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Kids got a couple of garments, and as did the wife. Yeah, yeah. So I went and, you know, got some lovely...
What's the go-to dad store for Andy?
Well, you know what? It used to be to go and get like just t-shirts and that kind of stuff. I would go to the Banana Republic store because they had, you know, great prices on things. No logos on the outside of anything. Yep. So
I'm with you on that. You
know,
yeah.
Yeah. So go and just buy some simple, tasteful, you know, casual wear there. But I found myself going there and thinking, you know what? I think there's a little inflation going on. It's not the bargain bonanza it usually is. And I only left that store with, you know, a number of garments. And I end up going to J. Crew. I was just as disappointed in J. Crew. I spat on J. Crew.
Yeah. Wow.
I spat on the sidewalk when I walked out.
Jeez. Did you curse them? And, did you give them like, some curse and make
fist
a
in the air
gesture?
No. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So then on our way out, we happened to pass the Gap store. I went into the Gap store and I was much more impressed with their fare and was able to buy a few pairs of shorts for knockabout and was pleased to have them.
Good. You know what? I'm glad about your short happiness. Your short's happiness.
They were so considerate there. I like customer service. Uh-huh. So considerate there that I said, hey, I like these shorts and you have them in black, but there wasn't my size back there. And she said, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you the exact sale price, all of the sale benefits you're getting here, all of your discounts. I'm going to order one from the factory. I'm going to have it sent to your house, free shipping.
You just got a lot of home service going on the last couple of days.
I'm telling you.
Don't expect me to start bringing shit over. I'm just saying
when
that.
People go the extra mile for me, I think that's great. Yeah. I think it's fantastic.
You're not going to get it on this podcast.
I look elsewhere for my gestures of kindness.
You get no extras, no extra effort, no extra. We're not going to get buoy your spirits that much.
Once I see 59 minutes and 59 seconds, my headphones are coming off and you can finish it without me.
I don't try any harder for you guys. I don't expect anything from you.
You get what you give, I believe, as New Radicals once said.
That's right. So then after that, we got in the car. We drove across uptown to up the street, like what, 15 miles, I guess, to Ventura, and walked around downtown Ventura. And stopped in one place to look at some antiques. And we stopped in another place, sat down. We all had a frosty beverage. Ooh. And then we walked to our dinner reservations and had a lovely dinner together. And then we drove home last night. It was a lovely day and a fantastic birthday observed.
Excellent.
Nice. Well, if you're playing by Lara's rules, you still got like two or three more, right? So you have a couple more, those don't count.
Here's the dig. Oh. Here's the problem. Here's the sticking point with that. I tried to sell that this morning.
This is Thursday.
As we're having a bit of a lie-in, she said, would you let the cat out or something? Would you do some chore? I'm like, no, it's my birthday observed weekend. I tried to float that.
Seems perfectly reasonable. She basically takes a whole month, right?
And but here's the thing. Here's how she shut that down. She said,
"It's August. It's August.
Today's August."
Yeah.
I'm like, son of a bitch. That should have been. You're right.
You need to start your birthday on July 1st, then, because
you are so right. Yeah. I tried, but I couldn't fight that funk. She was right. It was August.
It was,
and it's done.
Yeah,
it's
you should start. You should start like gearing up around summer solstice. Basically, it's just kind of like you know, get the gears rolling, get things, you know, at least in mind. So by the time you hit, because you also have to deal with like there's 4th of July in there. You're not going to get any extra attention around 4th of July weekend or any of that week. So you maybe have 2-3 good weeks in July that you could, you know, milk that for all it's worth. But you got to be thinking. You got to be thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, trust me. I started on July 5th with it's my birthday abrasion. Yeah. And it was mostly dusted to the side. But I felt like everybody went the extra mile this week with the birthday observed. Awesome. And feel free to emulate that in your life. It's quite lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else was going on? Let's see.
I can tell you a story. I want to tell you something that I occasionally do this when I know it's going to be a while before we talk, but I have planted this seed in the back of my memory and I can't believe I'm remembering, but it happened right after we had recorded, one episode of this podcast.
Right. Yes, because we only do one at a time.
Because we only do one at a time to keep it as topical and fresh as possible. And I was back in L.A. and I was walking to work, walking down the street to the building, and I'm going down Wilshire. And as I am walking alongside some parked cars, I just kind of see ahead of me. It's like something in this car ahead of me is not quite right. And I believe their windows were maybe a little extra tinted, or it was just the shadow, but I could just kind of make out the shapes of a couple of figures in the car. But it was just like there was something about the driver that wasn't quite right. It was like they looked in miniature somehow, but they were still upright behind the wheel. And whoever was in the passenger seat was like, that is a strange looking. I finally got close enough to realize that in the driver's seat was a toddler standing at the steering wheel and whipping it back and forth. And in the passenger seat was a giant German Shepherd sitting up, staring out the window. Now, as I get closer, it's like, okay, those two are completely alone in the car right now. And that's when it hit me. The car was running.
No.
What?
The car was running.
Good
now,
Lord.
And this was like a late model Mercedes. It wasn't some new fancy car that you can kind of, you know, start up remotely from outside, as far as I could tell. And this toddler was just whipping the wheel around and was also kind of leaning down under the steering wheel like, I see mommy push these buttons
right.
down
sure.
here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no. But the kicker was, the look on this German Shepherd's face was like,
get me out of here.
If this kid figures this out, we are so fucked. It was just staring straight out. And I stood there for the longest time. I was like, what do I do in the circumstance? Do I go try and do I lecture the person that comes back
yeah.
out? And
then, the dog is just sitting there going, I'm so sorry I shit on the carpet so many times. I'm so
yeah.
sorry I pissed on the couch that one time.
I'm sorry for everything.
To God, you get me out of here. I will never take a dump on the floor again.
Well, and the dog has to be thinking, what the fuck? If I bite him, they're going to put me down.
Right.
I got no options
here. What do I
here. Do? I got yeah. no options here. Yeah, it was crazy. And I opted instead
do?
To, I was the coward and walked away as quickly as possible. So I didn't see any of the destruction that could have ensued. But look, man,
the world needs more heroes like you, Larry.
Yeah. not all heroes wear capes, Larry.
I'm sure it turned out fine. I'm sure it was fine. And look, let's face it. The
you
car
left the
was
dog in charge.
Look, let's face it. The car
looks like a responsible
dog. It was a warm day, so they needed the air conditioning. And two, it was parked in front of five guys. And when you need your burger, you need your burger.
Yeah,
so
you gotta get in there.
You gotta. Unbelievable. But I just remember in that moment thinking, I'm not going to do anything, but I'm going to tell the guys about it next time we do a podcast.
Well, you took a picture of it and left.
I almost did.
A selfie with you and the kids.
Look at this, shit, everybody. Like that. They'll come, if a cop went by there, they'll take their kids away for that
oh,
shit.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is,
hell yeah.
You can't leave a toddler
take,
in a running
they'll,
car.
They'll take the dog, too.
But yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You're not fit to have a goddamn dog. Wow, that is shocking.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Where did you say again? Where were you?
This is Wilshire Boulevard, Miracle Mile area.
Which is a big, Hauser? Like, three-lane, you know what I mean? That's like a, just people that don't know, that's like big, a big thoroughfare through LA.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, if logic dictates that, you know, toddlers are dumb, so they're not going to figure it out. But, you know.
But all you got, if it's on the steering wheel, all you got to do is bump it, and you're right up in neutral, or drive, and then all of a sudden, whatever car. Well, hopefully, was there a car in front of it?
Yes.
Okay, good, because at least they just rammed that car.
Yeah, at least there was a barrier in front of them.
Exactly.
Again, I'm sure it turned out fine.
Toddlers are dumb.
I'm
sure. giving him a kick when he's down.
I'm sure that parent. I'm sure that parent came out as soon as they ate their burger because they're not going to take that five guys in the car. You don't want to stink up the Mercedes.
No, so. It's a Mercedes.
I'm sure, it's fine.
You just reminded me of something Viv said a little bit ago. They're cleaning out her closet, cleaning up her room. And we'll get back to that in a second. She took it. We were trying to get her to throw away or give away as much as possible.
Yeah, that's fun.
And if it's, you know, usable by, if it's a toy that another child will use, we're trying to, you know, repurpose it and take it to, you know, a thrift shop. But I said, can we get rid of this? And she's like, no. And I said, come on, honey, we've got to make some tough choices. You've got so many of these things. Do you think we can get rid of this? Okay. And she takes it and she throws it in the giveaway bag. It says, goodbye, ugly. And I'm like, well, you didn't need to give it an extra whack on the way out. You're already casting it away. Yeah. Goodbye, ugly.
She's trying to make it easier for herself.
Yep.
I guess.
Yeah. It's like when somebody breaks up with you and you immediately go, well, they were kind of an asshole and they smelled funny. And,
exactly.
You know, yeah. This is good for me. Yeah. Goodbye, ugly. That's a good one.
What you
Ring
guys
the bell,
need to
that's
know.
The name of the podcast.
Goodbye, ugly.
Goodbye, ugly.
That could be interpreted so many ways.
I like it. That should be the name of this podcast.
Well, guys, I think we need to rebrand.
guys, I feel like I need to bring this up because it's something that's pretty important to me. But I had a life-altering moment this week. Something happened to me that will change my life forever.
Oh, well,
and
now,
I
want to
share
everybody.
It with you because I think if you went through what I did, your lives would change too.
I can't wait to hear this and don't spare a detail. Okay. But first of all, people should know, Josh, you also had a very happening week. You went back to Butler, Pennsylvania to visit your family.
I literally and
just returned
got in yesterday at 7 p.m.
See, yes. I've been dying to hear about that. So
we want to hear about that. But I'm guessing if it happened this last week, this happened on location in Butler,
this
PA.
In Butler, Pennsylvania.
Can I guess? Please. Can I guess that it's food related?
No,
somehow?
It is not. Oh. No, nothing. No, it was not food related.
Okay, I am complete. So, well, then there's obviously I got no guesses then because that's the only thing I could think of.
Well, first off, this is unrelated, but immediately upon leaving LA, I lost my phone on the plane.
Oh,
So I didn't have a phone until Friday because I ordered one on Wednesday and it got there on Friday. So that was just a nightmare. But you know what? Believe it or not, it was great because I didn't have to deal with any bullshit. I didn't. I didn't look at my phone for like 8 or 6 days when I was with my family. So it was actually, you know, it's one of those things you don't think about. But then when it's not there, you're like, I don't even care. I'm on vacation. I don't want to look at my. The only thing that sucked is I couldn't take very many pictures. But
But there's actually some beauty to that too, of just like beginning the moment,
about it. There's like five things I want to talk about Butler, Pennsylvania. But let's talk about the thing that changed my life. Okay.
Yeah. Can't
please.
So
does this have anything to do with Steelers training camp?
Nope. Okay. Nope. But we were right outside of Steelers training camp. Believe it or not, on its first day when they let people in.
Wow. Enough guesses.
Yeah, I know. We got nothing.
Have you ever heard of a Pittsburgh toilet?
No, I thought you said it wasn't food related, Josh.
Other than that phrase being redundant, no.
Ouch.
All right. So what it is, I think we've talked about before.
It sounds to me like, going back to that sounds to me like a burrito that you would be offered at some local hotspot. Yeah, let me
like
get
a burrito
to,
with like a pierogi and kielbasa in it. It's called the Pittsburgh
I'll take the Pittsburgh toilet wet, please. Go ahead.
All right. So what they are is this is from what I researched it. There's this, like in the region, a lot of old-timey people, when they worked in coal mines, they would put toilets and showers just in like their unfinished basements because when they came home, they were so filthy, they weren't allowed in the house. They would downstairs.
Go straight down the steps. Yeah.
And take a shower and crap in there before they were even allowed to come up into like the house. So a lot of these places have literally, it's an open floor basement. It's
right.
With a drain in the middle and a toilet like up against the wall. There's no like you're shitting in a giant room,
like a prison cell, bigger.
Yeah, and it's so liberating. It's so great taking a crap in a giant room, just looking around, and there's no. It's just so great. But the best thing about this thing is my dad got a bidet.
Wow.
And he got a really good one. He got a really good bidet.
Now, is this a dedicated bidet that's the only purpose, or is this an added-on Japanese insert underneath the lid?
Exactly, it's an added-on Japanese one, but he actually researched them and was like, I found all these models, and this was kind of the middle of the road, not the $2,000 model and not like the $100 model. He's like, it's like one of those nice ones. It's got the stuff I need, but not all the crazy bells and whistles that I don't need. Right. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? It's a bidet. It sprays water in your ass. So I go downstairs and I sit in this open room and I take a crap. I'm like laughing. I'm like, this is great. This is insane. I'm looking over, there's a tool bench. I'm looking at his tool bench. I'm taking a crap. And, okay. So now it's time to use the bidet. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I look over and there's like a remote control on the wall. So I grab the remote. It's like magnetically attached. So there's no cable or anything. So I'm holding up the thing. And the first,
you know, they say the remote is always the dirtiest thing in the room.
Well, not if you're not wiping your ass. I don't have my hands in my ass. So it might be the cleanest thing. So the first button is a picture of a, like a W, like a butt cheek.
You know what I mean? Right.
And it's got like a plume of water shooting in between the crack of the
okay. So I'm like, pretty obvious. Pretty obvious. Yeah,
exactly. So it's, I'm just like,
a straightforward emoji right there.
I'm just like, go for it. And I'm like, bam, and I hit it. And I get the spray, and it's like, it's the water is preheated. Okay. And it was a little off target. So I'm like trying to angle my I'm moving my hips around. I'm getting like this angle. So then I look at the bottom of the remote, and it's got like a couple of these like up and down
directional. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like things. And so I press the first one, and that's like water pressure. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, whoa, this, now we changed the ball game right there. You know what I mean?
You're sitting on a constant fire hose the entire time.
It's not that strong. You can adjust it, but it would be like a really weak garden hose. Right? It's enough where it's chiseling it away.
It's doing the job. Yes. All right.
So then the other one.
Chiseling it away. I mean.
And then the other one, it changes the angle. So I can like a bomber, like zero in on where I want to hit. And now I don't have to move my hips. I'm like, this is insane. This is so great. So then I'm like, I sit there for a couple seconds. Water's heated. There's no like shock of woo. And then the next button I press, I don't know what it is. It's like some emoji, some icon that I don't know what it is. And I press it and it starts moving back and forth.
Oh, oscillating.
Yeah. Well, not oscillating. Like forward and backwards.
Yeah. All right.
I'm like, it's going from tape to the back. I mean, it's covering everything. I'm like, this is fantastic. So I press the next one. Then it starts oscillating in like circles, but small enough where it's not getting on like the center of your butt cheeks. It's all staying in the prime contact zone where you want it to hit. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's hitting the red zone. You're good. And then.
Wow. You might say it's hitting the bullseye.
It's hitting the brown eye. And then, so I do that. And then the next button has like these three red lines or three wavy lines. I'm like,
and that's lasers?
I don't know. I'm like, is the seat going to start vibrating? I don't know what's going on. I press it. A warm breeze starts coming in to dry everything off.
Wow.
And I was like, I came upstairs. I was laughing the whole time I came upstairs. I'm like, Cindy, we're going to get one right now. And she's like, what? I'm like, I just used the bidet and it is amazing. It's life changing. It's so great. I highly recommend you guys try
a
bidet.
So because this was on the toilet, you did not have to move from that device to this other device.
Yeah, it was basically the toilet seat. The attachment was a toilet seat. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was so good. And it has like its own little reservoir where it brings the water in and heats it up. So the next person sits down, it has warm water to shoot at you.
Now, did you feel like after this was done that you still had work to do with paper products?
I went in with paper product because I was like, I wasn't sure. I don't know what to do. So I went in with paper product and I didn't need it. It was
clean
spotless.
As a whistle.
It was spotless. And
you could eat off Josh's butt after that.
You could. It was awesome. It was so great.
That picture will keep me awake at night.
His story so far didn't. Once Josh's hip started moving around on top of the thing,
started messing around in it.
Combine the bidet with just a giant room by yourself taking a crap, and it was like, I was like, I might never leave. I might just live down here. It's great.
You've basically got a poop palace down there, it sounds like.
It's, I told Cindy, I'm like, I know what I want for Christmas. There's undoubtedly, I know what I want for Christmas.
I am surprised after what we have heard about you and your family, and this is no offense, Josh, but I didn't expect Milt to be so fancy, to be honest. I did not see that coming. You know
what happens? When we moved out of the house, that's when they started spending money on the good shit. That's when they got air conditioning and computers and all this stuff.
That's when they got air conditioning.
We didn't have air conditioning. As soon as we move out of the house, they get central AC. I'm like, what the hell?
That's when they got uppity.
Yeah.
Pretty uppity. But once they got the AC, they wanted all the mod cons.
We had a great time. I used an old person tub. One of those ones that has, it's like a ride
gate?
At Disneyland. Yeah, it's like you got to get in when they close the door. it was great. I got to do that. Yeah, the weather was the whole time. There was only one day where it rained for like half an hour, which is so unusual. Usually it rains like every single day, and it was nice every single day.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, now this bidet, I don't mean to get in your business. Yeah.
Ask me any questions. I'm here to spread the joy of the bidet.
Yeah. Let's not say spread, but okay.
How much is this Goldilocks bidet that your dad sourced? How much is that going to set me back?
I think it was around $400.
$400.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep.
Well, something that you use every single day.
Totally worth
beyond
it.
That, Andy. I mean, how much would you pay for a life changing experience that you get to experience? Literally every day, once, maybe twice, depending on your eating and pooping habits.
Who's going to be there for you when you really need it? That bidet is going to be there for when you really, really need it.
Well, yeah, because there's some days, some days you don't appreciate it as much because, you know, whatever. But there are some days when you're going to be super happy that baby's there.
Yes, exactly.
It certainly will do things for you that other people won't.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Interesting.
I mean, that's like having a birthday every day for the rest of your life, essentially.
And what you're talking about is for a year, it's like a dollar a day. I can just see Sally Struthers looking at the screen, selling people on bidets for just a dollar a month.
Sad song playing. Yeah. Just people pouting while they're pooping on regular toilets. Yeah. It's like, owie. Yeah.
So let's definitely deprive starving children in Africa so that we can get water shot up our butts, if possible.
Yeah. Larry, what do you think? Are you more likely to get a bidet now after hearing what Josh said?
I don't think that I was ever anti-bidet. I think I definitely am inclined to try it. I think maybe I'm even more motivated now after hearing, because I don't know if Josh was necessarily skeptical. I think obviously
I didn't know what to expect.
You've never experienced one.
Exactly.
But I think I remember talking about this at the beginning of the pandemic when the ridiculous run on toilet paper was happening.
Yep.
A lot of people were checking out bidets, and I was one of them. I was thinking, well, I mean, I've always kind of wanted one. I think conceptually it works for me. I'm totally down with it. But even those were selling out. Like they were selling out on Amazon. You couldn't even find a bidet.
I would say from the recommendations from my father is this is something you don't want to skimp on too. If you're going to get it, get one of the good. Don't get like the cheapest one you can find, because then you're not going to get the full experience. And then you're going to be like, why do I want a bidet? It doesn't really do anything. He's like, you got to get one of the decent ones that have a few of these functions. And the swirling thing there, that's great for when it's really kind of, that's great for like post chili dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, we understand. I think we understand the physics of why that might be useful.
You know, like do you ever see like an old church and then they sandblast it and how like it looks completely different? I just picture my butthole as the same thing.
Always think of your butthole as a church too.
An old church.
You have a high opinion of yourself.
Wow. Well, now, I mean, it's It's elevated.
It's a cathedral.
Yeah.
Wow. It's where people come to get saved.
Wow. Well, good for you. I'm glad that your life
was great. Owen got to make s'mores and light his first fire. It was great. Look over.
Not using the bidet.
No.
We changed conversations here.
House, and they were just out in the middle of the sticks. They're out in the middle of nowhere. Population like 800, maybe. And we went out and he was chasing lightning bugs and lighting fires and
making
s'mores. And my uncle was driving around on a side-by-side quad thing. He's just like, we were driving past a graveyard by my house and he looks over and he sees a groundhog and he's like, there's a beaver. I'm like, no, there's no beavers around here. That's a groundhog. He's like, what's a groundhog? And I'm like, it's just a big furry rat.
How could somebody in Pennsylvania not know what a groundhog is?
He's not from Pennsylvania. He's a city boy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's only the second time he's been back.
Because that's one of the biggest exports culturally from Pennsylvania is groundhogs.
I asked my dad, I'm like, there's a groundhog season out here, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, what do they do when they get them? You're like, what do you do when you shoot them? I'm like, do they eat them or do they put their furs on? Or you save the pelt? And he's like, probably just stuff them back down the hole.
I think they're
the wisdom of milk.
Yeah.
Wow.
I suspect they consider them to be rodents and pests. And
stuff them back down the hole.
I'm a little concerned about the nonchalance with which you said Owen's run around chasing after lightning bugs, starting fires, et cetera. That's the second time you said he got to start his own fire. I'm a little concerned that he's either being coached in the art of arson or he's just an absolute pyromaniac now. The way you put it, the context was he's run around the forest, stops for a second after getting tired of chasing lightning bugs and reach over and go, I think I'll set this tree on fire. Look at this.
So they had a big fire set up so he could cook his own hot dogs and make s'mores, but he was the one that got to light it after they dumped about a quart of motor oil on it.
Motor oil?
Yeah, okay. I never knew that either. My brother's motor oil burns slower, so it's not explosive like gas, so they'll dump motor oil on top of
you're sitting around burning petroleum.
Well, the vapor is going into...
Yeah, but they let it burn for like an... It's Western Pennsylvania. What do you want me to say?
You mean to explain
to these people, oh, that's motor oil. You can't put that on. They'll look at me like I'm an idiot.
They're going to be breathing in benzene and shit while they're sitting. That's carcinogenic.
They're breathing that crap in anyway. I mean, that's
astonishing.
Yeah, make s'mores on it. It's pretty good. 10W s'more.
You know, anybody like that who has a coal miner in their past, they're like, psh, I've had a lot worse in my lungs. Yeah, so I don't think they, they're built from, they come from different stock.
That's one way to put it.
Than we.
But yeah, we had a fantastic time. It was great. The only negative thing was me losing my phone and everybody just had a great time. It was a blast.
Very nice.
I got to go to Walmart three times.
Wow.
And I want to tell you this. The second time I was there, we came out of there and I looked at my wife and I said, I've never seen so many googly eyes in one place at the same time in my entire life.
Are you talking about in the craft section or on people's eyes?
I walked around and it was like every 10th person I saw had some googly eye. And I was just like, where the fuck am I? This is insane.
Maybe it has a little something to do with starting fires with motor oil. Breathing that shit in.
Oh, good times.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Now, at Walmart, did you count how many children were there without shoes?
I was just trying to, I was making a beeline to the garlic bologna so I can get that and then get out of there.
The garlic bologna.
Have you guys ever had garlic bologna?
No.
Nope.
Oh, my God. It's a Western Pennsylvania thing. Think of a kielbasa, right?
Yep.
except it's cooked, so like you can eat it cold like bologna. Except
it's not sliced like bologna. It's
like a ring tube. It's like a ring bologna. Yeah, and it's
okay.
But it's just infused with garlic. Like you eat a hunk of it, and your whole body will smell like garlic for a
while. Well, I mean, if you have a great recipe for what it's going in the White Trash Cookbook, if there's it's just a garlic bologna on white bread, I don't
my grandma used to cut it in like it's like the size of like silver dollars, right? And she would slice it up and then fry it and serve it on hamburger buns. There you go.
There we go.
And did
she notch the outside of it so it didn't shrink up?
It retains its shape, Andy. It will never change.
You actually cut the skin off of it. You know what I mean? Like you. Actually
the outside ring thing.
Exactly. Yeah. You cut that stuff off. So
well, if you have like a round piece of bologna and you put that in a frying pan, and if you don't notch the edges, it will like cup up. It will.
Well,
that's
not garlic bologna though.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. God, I've had so many bologna sandwiches in my lifetime.
Oh, I know.
Fried when was the last time you had one though? I mean, I don't think.
Oh. 25 years.
Yeah, I've
had one like within the last month. Yeah, Owen loves that shit. So I made him one. I made me one.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, fried bologna. Yeah,
it doesn't sound terrible.
Yeah. Bacon sandwich.
I gotta say, garlic bologna sounds pretty good.
Yeah, garlic bologna is no joke. It's the real deal. It's good. It's you take one of those and put it on like a Triscuit. Oh, there you go. That's all you need.
Oh, wow.
All right, there's recipe number two with the garlic bologna.
Fellas, we've got a telephone line here.
Go ahead.
That people.
It's got to be flavored good. You can't do the.
Oh. Oh, my God. My birthday cake was so good. It was homemade. Oh,
you totally skipped over that.
I forgot about it. My God, it was. She asked what I wanted, and I said, here's what I want. I want a lemon cake with. Creamy coconut frosting.
Oh.
And so she made what do we call it? Cream cheese frosting. Cream cheese frosting. And with that, with the flakes of coconut over top of
shreds.
It and a lemon cake. Oh, God, it was so good. It was so good. It was so good.
Nummy.
Hey, fellas, we got some phone calls.
Yeah, I bet we
to
do.
Our telephone line, that number is 626-657-6428 or PM Hat. We've got a couple of weeks of because we stepped through a time loop.
What are you talking about?
Even though we were here every week, somehow, I don't know, maybe it was Mercury in retrograde, made some of these phone calls not be delivered until now. But we're going to get to them all right now. But to open this first one, Larry, we need a special introduction, you wouldn't mind.
Low energy by
Hey, yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Lately, we've been dealing with the smoke from forest fires to the south of here. It was so bad for a couple of days that there were times when you couldn't even see the mountain right next to us, let alone the mountain across the valley. This week, it has cleared up quite a bit. Yesterday, they were even letting them burn the grass fields. Speaking of burn, the fire danger here is extreme. Several of the national forests have shut down access, and the county shut down access to the Mount Emily Recreation Area, where I used to go mountain biking. Guess I'm going to have to come up with an alternative for tomorrow. The Thursday acoustic music jams at Brewski's have been well attended. We had 8 musicians this week. Big fun was had. Friday night, Brewski's had the first live amplified music in what seems like years. Elwood was playing. These guys are great. I got invited to set in with them for about 5 songs, including Jay Bird's famous version of the Arlo Guthrie motorcycle song. Oh. Lots of musical fun. This ditch digging man. Talk to you later.
I'm nice. Glad he's safe. I'm glad
yeah.
He's safe.
Yeah. He yeah, sounded getting, downright despondent, not just low energy, but he found some positives there toward the end, but
he was, but I would be worried about him if it weren't for one fact.
Yeah.
I've got another phone call for you.
Ooh. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So I think we'll hear an improved mood perhaps in this one. Let's see.
Hey, yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Just a little clarification on the Low Energy Mike name. The first time I called the show, Andy commented about how I was low energy. And so then the next time I called, I let you guys know that I was the low energy mic. Anyway, that's the original story. So you guys have a good time. Talk to you later.
Somehow Mike didn't seem as prepped for that call.
He wasn't. But what a revelation. I had no idea that I inadvertently created that moniker.
Yeah, we didn't coin the term. I mean, that's pretty...
It was more descriptive than...
But he picked up on it right away and adopted it. And that, I mean, that's what we need from our listeners is putting in that sort of effort when we don't.
We need a little bit more effort on their part to make up for the effort we don't make.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, step up, people.
Hey, if this isn't a good podcast, it's their fault.
Yeah, that's right. It's only as good as you contribute. Here, hold on.
That was Low Energy Mike. That was Low Energy Mike.
Got one more phone call fellas.
He did sound a little happier, too. But
yeah, a little more upbeat. Just a shade. Yeah. A shade happier. Here we go.
This is George from Long Beach. First, congratulations on Orbit to Larry Morgan and Andy Chanley for completing another orbit of Sol. May your next orbit of Sol and the 584 million mile journey provide many opportunities to enrich your lives. Wow. Date night is back at Napa Rose. Rylan and Joe at the bar have been taking good care of us. When we left Napa Rose and got in the valet line at the Grand California, we were behind none other than Paul Stanley.
Oh.
Hey, you guys talked about car racing in your last podcast.
Yep.
You would be disappointed if I didn't call in and talk about NASCAR. We are close to the end of the regular season of NASCAR and about to start the playoffs. Here's how it works. There are 26 races in the regular season. Drivers earn points for where they finished in the first stage of the race, the second stage of the race, and the end of the race. The most points go to the driver that wins, and the least points go to the driver that finishes last. At the end of the regular season, the top 16 drivers are in the playoffs. All 39 cars are in the races, but only the top 16 are eligible to win the championship. They run three races, and the field is narrowed to the top 12 drivers based on points. Then they run three more races, and the field is narrowed to the top 8 drivers. Then they run three more races, and the top 4 drivers are eligible for the championship. They run one final race in Phoenix, where the driver that finishes first out of the 4 drivers wins the championship. We have our tickets to that race in November. In other racing news, Jimmy Johnson, who retired from NASCAR and is now running as a rookie in IndyCars, is thinking about running in the Indy 500. And you know what race car spelled backwards is? Until next time, this is George from Long Beach.
It's race car.
Yeah. Did we lose Josh completely?
Madam. Josh passed out in the middle of that.
Okay. All right. He went and got himself a bidet, apparently, to try and liven up his life. All right.
Yeah, is that to make an orbit around Sol?
Something's orbiting around something, is what I'm saying.
I know he's not. It's not frozen because his fan's still turning.
Yes. No, he's
now,
there.
Now, having tried a bidet for the first time, here's the bad part.
Oh, it's just...
As I had to come home and take a normal people dump.
You've been chasing the dragon all this time?
All the time. I'm like, do I get like a squirt bottle? What do I do? What can I do?
Do I get a squirt bottle?
Now, can I ask a question?
Cindy to come in with a squirt gun?
With the garden hose through the window.
Yeah. Did you stay with your family?
Yes.
Did you? So how many times did you use this device?
Oh, here's the best
part.
I completely forgot about the best part. So I used it like every day. So like eight times, I don't know. But like day four, I'm taking
he was
crap.
There for 3 days.
he probably overloaded on certain food items just so he had an excuse to go back more often.
Just brand on brand,
as much roughage as possible.
Yes, that's what garlic bologna will do to you. I'm sitting there, right, and I'm finishing up. I'm not quite done yet, okay, but I'm definitely still bare ass on the toilet, and. I look over and my old man's standing by the pantry, by like the canned food section, and he's looking around and I'm just like, what the hell? So I hurry up and finish up and I go walking over and he's like, oh. He had no idea. Who knows how long he was there and who knows how, like, I was, what part of the process I was in when he came downstairs. We had no idea each other was in the same room together.
Yeah, I mean, that's the size of a good sized basement when one guy can be in the middle of it having a shit.
Well, in between the shitter
and another guy can be overlooking at the canned goods and then not know each other's there.
In between the toilet and the canned pumpkin is a furnace. So you couldn't really, like, I didn't know. He must have snuck down and, like, went behind the furnace, and I never saw him the whole time. But, yeah, that was I was just like, okay, I guess I just.
It sounds like a horror movie.
Mid-40s, I just took a crap in front of my dad maybe for the last time. So I had that little father-son moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you thought those days were gone.
Yeah, I went over and hugged him. We started to cry a little bit. He's like, you want me to wipe you like the old days? I was like, nah, I'm good. We're good.
No, because you bought the fancy bidet, Milt. Don't need it.
All good. Got it covered, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Larry, was there any pressing mail in the YAF sack this week? Or is it something that can hold until next week?
There's something really quick that's actually worth mentioning. Thanks to Sean for this entry. Honestly, if anybody wants to contribute to the White Trash Cookbook like Sean did,
nice.
Please let us know. yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. Sean says, one box of macaroni and cheese made to directions. Okay. Add one can cream of mushroom soup and one can of chicken drained.
Oh.
We call it Alaskan Surprise based on a road trip. That's Sean from San Ann. Sounds to me like that those were whatever road trip that was. Those were the only ingredients available. Tossed them all in one thing and came up with Alaskan Surprise. So Sean, you're getting the thumbs up from Josh, it sounds like.
That's just added to the list when we do our picnic.
Would you eat that?
Hell yeah, I would. Would you?
Probably not.
You would eat it. You'd take a bike.
Could you make that? Could you make that and give us your, see if it gets your imprimatur
okay,
on
what
it?
Was in it? A craft
macaroni
and cheese?
I forwarded it to you, Josh.
It's three ingredients. I can remember them.
Yeah, it's the macaroni and cheese, fully made.
Yeah.
It's a can of
I assume
cream
the
of,
powdered
cream of,
version,
yeah,
because
the
it sounds to me
kind.
Like they only had what they had. So, the add water kind, a can of cream of mushroom soup, and a can of chicken drained.
I think I could do that. I think I could go buy that stuff right now. You know what we're glossing over here, Larry, that we haven't mentioned, is there was a very big moment that Andy has been talking about something he was going to do for a while, and he did it.
It happened since the last time we talked.
No.
I opened the luncheon loaf.
Yes.
And I sliced off a slice of it. Uh-huh. And I chopped that, diced that up.
Well,
into
first
very small
of all,
pieces.
Andy, can you tell us the experience of opening the can and releasing the loaf from its
what? Squeezing the loaf out? Tell us about how you did that. The sounds.
Yeah, the thwack of it hitting the plate.
You texted the perfect sound effect in text to us on that.
Yeah, it was pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
And there was like crystallized fat on the side of it.
Yeah.
So I sliced that off diced it up and put that in a pan and browned that up a little bit and put in my egg and had my frittata with it. And I got to tell you know what? We made fun of it, but when I tasted it, it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
So it's better than you thought it was.
It was not
what
very tasty.
What time of the day did you eat it?
For, brunch.
Well, that's probably why it didn't taste so good. It's lunch and loaf.
What's the right time? Midnight? After you've had 12 beers?
Should have been lunch.
Lunch and loaf. I think it's self-explanatory. It's not called brunch and loaf.
Brunch and loaf is what that was my mistake. Exactly. That was the mistake here. Yeah. Thank you for pointing
clearly
that out.
Clearly didn't read the directions.
Exactly. So. Larry, how can people get a hold of you if they have recipes for the White Trash Cookbook?
Well, again, yourartificialfriends@gmail.com is the best address to do that. You can find me, I would say, Instagram at the Larry Morgan.
And Joshua?
I really like the ideas of the White Trash recipes. So people go ahead and email. You can email the show or give me Larry. You can email me, joshuajfligger@gmail.com. I think if we find some good ones, I'm willing to, I'll be the guinea pig and test some of these out.
Oh, I think we have to. We have to have the YAF test kitchen
and get
the results. Yeah.
And you've got to hold on to these because I'm telling you, there are people who eat healthy in this world who need this kind of vacation.
Yes. Hey, you know what else we can add? We can add motor oil s'mores to that book.
Yeah. This is going to be the first cookbook with a Prop 65 warning on the front of it. There are foods in this cookbook known to cause cancer to laboratory animals. Yeah,
we're going to have to get people to sign a disclaimer before they order a copy of it.
You have to be 18 to buy it.
Yeah.
But you can be Owen's age to light the fire, so it's fine.
If you're pregnant or nursing, ask someone else.
I look over. I thought his hair was going to go up too. I look over. I'm in the barn, and I look over, and they have these wood stacked up like they're getting ready to bury. They're getting ready to burn Jonah Ark. I mean, it was like six feet high, and I look over, and he's got the Sunday comics in this torch style, right? And he's holding it. And he puts it down, and as he puts it down, you know how like the fire reverses.
Sure.
It goes right up the thing. Well, I'm like 2 seconds later, I just see this whole thing, his whole thing in his hand is just burning, and he just panics and just throws it in the fire. And I'm like, okay, good job, kid. You did the right thing. Just get rid of it. Yeah, good times.
You're all lucky to be alive.
Can't wait to go back.
How about you, Andy? How do people find you?
Yeah.
It was Joshua J. Flieger at gmail.com. I am available on the Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley. I'm on Instagram at Instagram is Andy Chanley, and Twitter is Andy_Chanley.
There it is.
I know it. I feel like I'm getting a little bit smarter the further I get from the chemo.
Did we give the email for the show?
Like nine times.
I quit listening. I was doing something
else. No, obviously.
This is fun, fellas. Welcome back from Butler Tucky.
Hey, I missed you guys.
Yeah.
Talk about the gamut of human endeavor. One guy goes to Butler, Pennsylvania. The other guy goes to San Francisco. This has been, we've covered some ground.
And
we both had
fantastic foods and experiences.
Indeed. Exactly. We're crossing the entire spectrum of experience.
We're going to try to work garlic bologna into some type of Burmese dish. It's just going to blow people's mind.
Look, I could easily be, you know, by next summer, be telling you about my trip to Brownwood, Texas, and the meatballs and dog bread that we had. So
dog bread. Let's save that for next episode.
Oh, that's going in the recipe, man.
People that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end. Tune into this podcast.
This one here.
Your artificial friend.
This one right here.
No talk singing. No. No.
Scat singing next time.
That'll be the last time we do that. Bye-bye.